Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents All-Star Promise by Julie Treadle, narrated by Joe Hempel and Carly Robbins. Hudson, Chapter 1. I had to stay focused and try not to think about how much was riding on this season. I could be the first known shifter to play in the NFL if I just worked hard, stayed out of trouble, made my passes, and didn't flunk out of Archibald Reynolds College. Absolutely no pressure there. Halfway through the semester, and I was failing two of my classes. It was no one's fault but my own. I hated bugging Marie all the time to help me, even though I knew she didn't mind. Marie was one of my closest friends, but sophomore year she'd mated my twin brother, Holden. I couldn't be happier for them. They had their own life to live now, though, and I sometimes felt like a third wheel. Marie was always checking in on me and fussing over me. I didn't mind any of that, but last semester I had legitimately passed all of my classes without help. She'd been so proud of me and had made a big show of it. So now that I needed help again, my pride wouldn't let me ask for it. Anatomy shouldn't have been a difficult course for me, but it was necessary since I switched my major to sports medicine. There were just so many parts to memorize, and my brain didn't always function right. I wasn't some jock looking for an easy ride to the top. I'd already faced enough adversity to know there was no such thing, and even if it appeared to be, it all could disappear in a flash with one wrong hit. My senior year of high school, I had been one of the most highly sought-after picks for Division I college teams. Everyone had wanted me to come play football for them. I hadn't signed any early contracts, though, and was keeping all of my options open. One wrong hit. That's all it had taken to change the course of my life. A massive concussion had me sitting out most of my senior year. I'd lost all hope of picking my choice of schools. Recruiters dropped me like a bag of rocks. It was humbling, to say the least, and yet I still don't remember it all very clearly. I thought my football career had ended before it had even started. Some brain therapy, massive restrictions, particularly towards anything with a screen, rest and time had brought me through it. I had made the tough decision to follow Holden to Archibald Reynolds College, where I wouldn't have the constant reminder of what I lost. The Arc did have a football team, but the program was small, and they often got their butts kicked. It wasn't exactly a selling point for the school. What it did have going for it was exclusivity. Only descendants of shifters were allowed to attend, and that was vetted harder than grades, sports recruiting, or anything else. Yep. I got into college simply because I could shift into a wolf. It was better than having all I'd lost flaunted in my face, and 4 years later I had no regrets about that decision. At the end of my freshman year, my doctors declared me healed as I would ever be. They cleared me to play football again, so the summer before my sophomore year I walked into tryouts as what they thought was a nobody. I was a little rusty, but the team hadn't been that great, or so I thought. Turned out all they really needed was a kick-ass quarterback, and I happened to be just that. Coach Jacobs, our head coach, was a fair and reasonable man, most of the time. I got along with him just fine, and we rarely butted heads. If I didn't pull up my grades soon, he was going to have my ass, though. I had no preconceived notions that even while I was being scouted by some of the best NFL teams in the nation, Jacobs would bench me in a heartbeat if he knew where I stood academically at the moment. I was getting desperate, and something was going to have to give. One of the major long-term side effects of my concussion was my short-term memory. My brain wasn't 100% defective in this area, but it was definitely crippled. On the field, recurring plays were fine, but if coach tossed in a new play on the fly, I struggled. To overcome this, I studied his entire playbook every night before bed and first thing every morning waking up. I would also go through it just before every practice and every game. My hope was that I would commit each play to memory beyond short term. Repetitively walking through the plays helped to secure the memories in a different section of my brain, too. So it wasn't uncommon to find me on the field just running through each scenario during my downtime. I knew I had a disadvantage, but I'd be damned if I was going to let it hold me back from chasing my dreams. And so far, it was working. Here I was, heading into my third consecutive year with an undefeated team. We'd landed in a playoff round last year that had drawn national attention. On the one hand, that had been amazing and exciting, renewing interest in me on a higher scale and attracting several NFL scouts to games this season. But that hadn't exactly been great for the Arc. The stadium was housed just off campus in the event something like this occurred. Plus, it helped not having an excessive number of humans wandering around our school during home game weekends. The Ark was supposed to be a bit of a sanctuary for young shifters, a place we didn't have to fully hide or fear our secrets would be found. My recent celebrity status had more than a few people on edge, and a ton of new admission requests from humans. They were all declined, of course, but it had certainly not been a welcome experience for everyone. For me, it had reignited my dreams of someday playing in the National Football League. I was so close, I could taste it now, if I could just manage to pass history and anatomy before I got my ass benched. Deciding I had to take action and admit my own failures, I broke down and signed up for a tutor through the library. I thought maybe that would be a better option than a study group, which tended to derail and discuss my football stats instead of the assignments. This was no better, though. The girl they assigned to tutor me had just sat there and stared with stars in her eyes. She could barely string a coherent sentence together in my presence, let alone explain anything of value. Sure, I had occasionally caused that effect with women, but usually it went away quickly after spending more than a few minutes with me. Holden had always been better with the ladies. It wasn't that I had any problems finding dates or attracting women. I was just too self-focused to keep one for long. Whereas Holden had been the ultimate player, a true ladies' man, right up until the moment he went on a blind date with one of my best friends, who wasn't supposed to be there. I shook my head and smiled. Marie was a great girl. She had never put up with my bullshit and helped keep me in line. She was super smart. Without her, I would have probably flunked out of college my freshman year. She had known me before the star status had kicked in, before I was the famed quarterback of Archibald Reynolds. I liked to think that even if we had met after that change in my life, that she still wouldn't have given a shit about any of that. Now she was my twin's mate, so I got to keep her in my life in the best way possible. I was just thankful I didn't have to live with her anymore. Or them, rather. Up until this year, the three of us had been roommates. When another room became available in the doghouse where we lived, I took it. At first, Dylan had moved in with me, but after only 2 weeks, he apologized and moved back in to share with Finn and Asher. My early morning workout schedule wasn't conducive for his late-night partying senior year plans. It dubbed me the nickname Old Man in the house. I didn't care. My day started early, well before the crack of dawn, so I needed to be in bed early the night before. I wasn't a complete recluse. I did make it a point to attend all brother functions regardless of my schedule. But during season play, especially this year, I simply didn't have the time or energy to waste on parties keeping me up all hours every single night. I could barely squeeze in time for classes, let alone anything else, which was how I ended up stuck in this history class as an elective. It had seemed like the best option at the time, but no one had warned me the amount of memorization it would take to pass. I walked into the doghouse, home of Delta Omega Gamma, the fraternity to which I was a proud brother. Rushing dog my freshman year had been the best decision I'd ever made. Looking back on college, the memories made with my brothers would reign higher than anything, even football. I walked into the house for the evening, still hot and sweaty after practice. A shower was calling my name. Unfortunately for me, Marie and Holden were hanging out in the living room. "We need to talk," Marie said, jumping up from my brother's lap the second she saw me. "Can I take a shower first?" "No." I groaned. "What is it, Marie?" "You requested a tutor for this year? Why didn't you just tell me you needed help?" I ran a hand through my sweaty hair, feeling like a young kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar. "You were busy, and I didn't want to bother you," I lied, because in truth I just didn't want her to find out. I should have known better.
"Hudson, we're family. I am never too busy for you."
I felt horrible. Tutoring was supposed to be anonymous there. I was going to find out who leaked it, and we were going to have words.
"Who told you?" I asked.
"It doesn't matter." "It matters to me. That program was supposed to be anonymous."
"Is it helping?" she asked, trying to divert me.
"Hell no. She was worthless and just sat there drooling the whole time."
"How bad is it?" Holden asked.
"How bad is what?"
"Your grades, Hud. How many classes are you failing?"
I sighed. 2. I'm not slacking on them. I'm really trying. They're just harder than I anticipated.
Which two? Marie asked.
Anatomy and a history class. I thought the history would be easy, but it's all like dates and events regurgitated on the tests. I hated seeing Holden's jaw lock with frustration. I knew he still worried about me, especially with things like that. It was yet another part of why I didn't want to talk to Marie about it. They were mates, and I couldn't expect her to keep it from him. Seeing him look at me like that made me feel like a failure and a disappointment. I'll try harder, I said, walking away despite their protests. I took the stairs two at a time as I ran up to my room. What I wanted to do was curl up and forget this day had ever happened, but I knew I'd only wake tomorrow feeling all the worse. Instead, I made myself gather up my things and head for the shower. By the time I was done, I felt better, but also like there was this weight on my shoulders. I jumped when I saw Marie sitting on my bed. Jesus, Marie, ever heard of privacy? Please, we live in a frat house. Is there even such a thing? I sighed. What do you want? Not just me, buddy. She handed me a paper with a schedule on it. I looked down to see my course schedule, my practice and game schedules, and then handwritten all around that chaos were my brothers with dates and times. What's this?
Your new study schedule. Everyone wants to pitch in and help you through this, not just me. But I signed up for twice a week to make sure you stay on track.
Marie, you didn't have to do this.
It wasn't my idea. Holden rallied the brothers. I warned him you wouldn't be happy about it, but if you're failing two classes in the middle of NFL recruiting, dude, we have to help. You can't carry this much burden on your own, and you shouldn't have to.
This is my life, and something I have to learn to live with.
I stubbornly protested, feeling overwhelmed that every single brother of Delta Omega Gamma had picked up a time slot, and even a few of their mates. It was too much. It wasn't that I wouldn't have done the same for any one of them. I just didn't feel deserving of so much.
Stop it, Marie said. They want to help. We all do. And you'd do the same for anyone else.
That's not the point.
It is, because you deserve it too.
Stop reading my mind, I told her.
Marie had the ability to look into someone's eyes and see their deepest thoughts and fears, their darkest secrets. She always swore she never looked into mine, but times like this made me wonder.
I don't have to. It's written all over your face. Let us help you.
Fine, I conceded.
Okay, you start tomorrow, right after your morning workout. Josie will have breakfast waiting for you and go over a few things before your first class. She'll be covering anatomy and tackling it from a more practical perspective she thinks might help you remember things better.
Piper, Chapter 2.
Piper, over here!
Kellen yelled across the room. My cheeks burned and I wanted to disappear into the floor. If God was going to make me a freak amongst freaks, why hadn't he thought to bless me with that superpower? Instead, all I could do was remember things no one else cared about. I walked quickly over to Kellen, trying to juggle my tray, and sat down across from him in the cafeteria. Did you have to yell that out for the whole room to hear?
Piper! Piper's here!
He said loudly, pointing at me. It caused a few snickers nearby. No one cares, Pipes. I rolled my eyes. Can you just try to be normal for 5 seconds of your life?
What fun would that be?
Jackson Sage joined us. Would you please tell your brother to stop embarrassing me? I warned her. Don't look at me. He's not my brother, Sage reminded me.
You wish,
Kellen teased her. It was an ongoing issue with those two. Kellen and I had met in captivity. It was still a little surreal to think how that had been my life. Or maybe that this was my life now. I never dreamed I'd have the opportunity to attend college someday, let alone an all-shifter college where I didn't have to pretend to be something or someone I wasn't. Having gone through that sort of trauma together had brought me and Kellen close. He had been caught while on a mission to find his older sister, Sapphire. The two of them had the same father but different mothers. They weren't even the same type of shifter, but their white hair made it easy to see the resemblance. Sapphire had settled into Weston Pack, a wolf pack, despite being a fox shifter. She'd moved there with her three sisters when her sister Susan had taken a mate who happened to work on one of the elite force teams for Weston Force. Sage was the youngest of the sisters, while Kellen had come along as an unexpected addition to the family after Weston Force rescued us from a Raglan facility and then ended the Raglan entirely. Well, we say they saved us when, in reality, Kellen and I had banded together with the other shifters being held and experimented on there to get ourselves out. Weston Force just had the lucky timing of arriving just as we were in the process of escaping. But given all they've done with our kind, we let them claim the victory. Sage worked hard to graduate a year early, so she could attend the Ark with us. Jax, too. He was on the small size, being a turtle shifter, so I really had no idea how old he was. He often seemed young and immature, though.
"Hey, I heard that, Piper," Jax said as he glared at me. I just grinned and shrugged. Sage and Jax were witches, like me, only their powers were much cooler. Sage was a seer, and Jax could read other people's minds, which was how he had known exactly what I was thinking about. "Stay out of my head, then," I warned him. Not for the first time.
"Is she thinking about me again?"
Kellen asked, giving me a wink. I just rolled my eyes and quietly ate my lunch. It was nice having others like me around. It didn't make me feel quite so different. I supposed just having friends who accepted me no matter what helped with that. "Study group tonight?" I asked.
"Pass. I don't need it," Jack said.
"That's because you cheat," Sage reminded him. Jax lowered his voice to little more than a whisper. "I'm not the one who saw the pop quiz coming last week and had us all study the content. Face it, we have extra gifts. We shouldn't be punished for it."
"Well, if you're just going to tell me all of the answers again, why study?"
Kellen argued. Jax's powers weren't just being able to hear other people's thoughts. He could talk to them telepathically. It was annoying at times, but mostly I didn't think anything of it. That was just life around Jax. The four of us had teamed up and taken all of the same classes our first semester. We also all lived in Kenston Hall, though the boys were a floor below me and Sage. It had certainly proven to be an easy start to college life. When Sage saw the upcoming test in one of her premonitions, she was able to write enough down to help me study. With my photographic memory, I was able to remember all the possible answers and even where to find them in the book. I gave Jax the answers, and he told them to Sage and Kellen, and that was how we had jointly cheated to pass our first college test. I'd felt horrible about it after the fact, and we made a pact not to do it again. Kellen wasn't exactly on board with that decision, and I wouldn't put it past Jax to try and read my thoughts to help him and Kellen pass their classes. I didn't know how to stop them from doing it, though. Kellen gave a nod to someone across the room. I turned just in time to see a guy heading our way.
"Kellen, great to see you, man. What's up?"
he asked.
"Just wanted to remind you about that event at the doghouse tonight that we discussed yesterday. You're coming, right?"
Yeah.
"Sure.
Sounds great."
"Hi, I'm Denny," he said, turning to Jax.
"Jax,
you should come out with him and consider rushing Delta Omega Gamma this year."
I started to laugh. They aren't dogs.
"Well, they look like dog material to me. It's true the majority of the brothers are of canine descent, but we don't discriminate in the least." He looked around the room. "Yo, Kian, come here a sec."
I saw a hot guy with dark hair and an even darker look in his eyes walking our way. If looks could kill, this Denny dude would be toast. I giggled. "Totally feeling that," I told the guy as he stopped at our table. Pointing to Kellen, I added, "This guy right here pulls that crap on me all the time." Kian just smirked and shrugged one shoulder.
"What's up?"
he asked Denny.
"This is Kellen and his friend Jax. I was just telling them how we don't discriminate at Delta Omega Gamma, that we're a fully inclusive fraternity, right?"
Kian rolled his eyes.
"Whatever he said."
"Come on, I'm trying to recruit here."
Kian sighed, and I felt a little sorry for him being put on the spot.
"Let me guess, neither of you are a dog? No wolf, coyote, dingo, nothing?"
They both shook their heads. Well, the bulk of the guys are, and if you're cool with that, then it's fine. Me? I'm a panther. And I wasn't the first feline brother. Chad pops in from time to time as well. He's a squirrel.
A squirrel?
Jax asked, like it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. So says the turtle, I reminded him. Kian cracked a smile.
You're all turtles?
Tiger, Kellen admitted. Fox, Sage added. I'm actually a wolf. He shook his head.
Wild. Did you guys just meet when you arrived here?
No, actually, we're all from Weston Pack, I explained. Kian looked around like I was insane.
All of you?
We nodded.
Wow. I mean, I knew they had a panther living there, but I had no idea there were others.
Well, Weston Forest brings in a variety of types, Jax explained proudly. In a way, Jax and Sage had been rescues, too. Well, Jax had actually been rescued while Sage had been adopted by the wolves when her sister mated into Weston Force. I'd heard she hadn't had the best upbringing, though, so in a way, it sounded like a rescue. And really, thanks to Kelsey, Pack Mother of Weston Pack, who also happened to be a witch, we'd all been brought out of our shells, so to speak. She had truly helped each of us embrace what we are and understand that we didn't need to be afraid of our powers or hide them. I was still hesitant to let anyone know outside of my circle of friends. Kian shrugged.
Should be easy to vet them at least. I can call Chase and check them out if it comes to it.
You know Chase Weston? I asked.
Yes. Do you?
Of course. We weren't lying about coming from Weston Pack.
Never said you were.
Kellen shot me a look to shut the hell up. I just couldn't help it. San Marco was as much my home now as any wolf's. It was truly the only place that had ever felt like home. My own family was fine, I guess. I just never really felt like I fit in there. They all thought I was odd for being super smart. I wasn't that smart. I just had a gift for remembering things.
Well, look, after the game Saturday, we're hosting a party. All of you should come,
Denny suggested. I wanted to groan. Football was a frustrating sport for me. It was too easy to memorize the patterns of the plays. Yet the coaches seemed oblivious to this and almost always called the wrong play to counteract a good offense. My dad and brother were huge football fanatics, so I grew up watching it. Even at a young age, I would annoy them until I was eventually banned from watching the games with them. After that, I pretty much declared a hatred for all things football. Kellen didn't seem to care about that, though. I wasn't exactly given an option or asked if I wanted to go. I supposed it was just assumed that I would. Everyone did, especially since the NFL started actively scouting our first-string quarterback, Hudson Guffey. I couldn't even fathom the ego that guy must have. Would his head even fit through the door if he were to walk into the cafeteria? He was all anyone talked about around campus.
We'll be there, Kellen finally said, answering for us.
Once they walked away, I leaned over and whispered, Do we have to?
Pipes, it's a fraternity party. You need to let loose and do this. Plus, it's the fraternity I am actually interested in rushing this year.
Kel, you said we were going to do this college thing together, I reminded him. He wrapped an arm around my shoulder and squeezed.
We are. There are plenty of sororities for you to choose from.
I rolled my eyes. I wasn't a conformist, and he knew it. Once upon a time, I'd had a huge crush on Kellen. He was handsome and fun to be around. We'd flirted for a while before I had given up my V-card to him. We were stuck in captivity with no clue if we were ever getting out of there, and it had just happened. I couldn't bring myself to regret it, even if I did learn shortly after that he is absolutely not boyfriend material. We still hooked up on occasion, though I'd dated a few other guys since moving to San Marco. They were fun to be with, but I had learned quickly that I wasn't exactly commitment material anyway. I bored quickly with guys, but it was fine because I always had Kellen. We definitely weren't a thing, but we were best friends, and I trusted him more than just about anyone else in the entire world. I'm not interested in joining a sorority this year. Maybe next, but not this year. It's so cliche, Kellen. He just shrugged it off.
Well, I'm going for it,
So you have to support me on this. If you don't want to go to the party, then that's fine. But you're still coming to the football game, right?
I groaned. Do I have to?
Yes, Jack said. We all agreed that we would live it up and make the most of college life, and that doesn't mean sitting in your room with the biggest game of the season going on.
I rolled my eyes. Fine. But you guys owe me for this. I hate football. Quickly, I hid my thoughts away from my family. Jax was a meddling pain in my ass a lot of the time and had no issues with invading my mind, even when things didn't pertain to him. My eyes shot up to see if he was listening in, but he was laughing at something Sage had just said.
We've got class in a few minutes. We need to go, I said, collecting my things and standing to leave. Kellen stopped me.
Hey, are you okay?
I nodded. I'm fine. In truth, I was feeling like a hot mess these days. I loved having my friends around me, but it was all the time. What had we been thinking when we signed up for all the same classes and chose to live together? It was like there was never a break from them. On the flip side of that, there was comfort in having the familiarity surround me. So I equally loved and hated it. I should be relieved to hear Kellen was rushing the doghouse. As ridiculous as that sounded for a rare white tiger shifter, it somehow made all the sense in the world we lived in. His sister was a fox shifter, and they lived in a wolf pack, so this wasn't the least bit strange to him. I realized they were all watching me now, which meant Jax was probably screwing around in my head. I huffed. Are you guys coming or not? I won't be late for class. I stomped off without waiting for them to follow, but of course, I knew they would.
Hudson. Chapter 3. I sat in the locker room, soaking in the peace before the madness began. I always arrived 3 hours early just for this moment to myself. This time there had already been a small crowd waiting outside. I had snuck in through a staff door to avoid them. Some of the guys loved the attention and hype before a game, but I hated it. I didn't need an inflated ego. I needed to clear my head and focus. Coach had put in two new plays that I was struggling to commit to memory. I was going over them in my head, trying to find some way to force them in there. I was never going to get it in time, and I knew I was going to have to admit defeat to Coach Jacobs. The door opened behind me, and I startled. I wasn't used to anyone arriving so early. I looked back over my shoulder to see Josie walk in. I smiled and gave her a wave. "Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. Just checking supplies to get ready for today's game."
"It's fine, Josie.
I know how you are about your pregame downtime. I really don't want to interrupt."
I sighed. "It's not helping anyway. I can't keep these two new plays straight to save my life."
"Want some help?"
I shrugged. Josie had helped a lot with my anatomy quiz this week. It still wasn't easy for me to have the whole house know I'm struggling and trying to fix it, but I loved them even more for it. My stubborn ego could take the hit if it meant passing all of my classes this semester.
"First, how was your quiz?"
Good. I passed with a C. I'll take it."
Her brow furrowed. "Only a C? We'll work harder for the next one."
"Josie, I haven't managed to pass a thing in that class until you stepped in to help. I'm happy with a C. I just need to pass."
"You're setting your standards too low, Hudson."
I sighed. She couldn't possibly understand. It wasn't about setting my standards too low. It was about making reachable goals and meeting them. My goal for this week was just to pass the stupid quiz, and I did. I wasn't going to feel bad about that, see? I was damn proud of it. My bar could be raised a little higher for the next time. One thing I'd learned since my concussion is that life wasn't going to just be handed to me. I had to work hard for everything now, and I was okay with that. I couldn't let it get me down or believe I wasn't good enough. That kind of thinking only led to depression, and I wouldn't go back there again. I stared down at the cards in my hand and tried to find some way to make them stick. With a sigh, I pulled out my wristband and carefully removed one of the play cards. I drew the two new plays onto one card, listing them by name and highlighting my weaknesses, that being the fact that one play ran to the right and the other to the left. It infuriated me more than anything that I struggled to get that right. I wanted to reverse them, but we never practiced it that way. So in large letters next to blue 3, I wrote R-I-G-H-T in large letters, and then L-E-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?